As with many other areas of life, sometimes we need help to work out the best way forward, and our own mental health is no exception. That is why today's episode of the Outlawed Pigs podcast is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp will facilitate matching you with the most appropriate licensed therapist for your own individual needs online. This isn't a self-help program or a crisis and emergency line. It's a professional, secure portal to get you connected with a therapist who can help, while also taking away the awkwardness of waiting rooms. Join the other 2 million people who are taking responsibility for their own mental health and take steps forward. Mental health is a critical part of our lives, and sometimes we need help to get it right. So go to betterhelp.com/outlawed or use the code outlawed at checkout and you'll receive 10% off your first month.
You want the sponsor reads then? Have you got
them? Yeah, I've got the sponsor reads up.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Outlaw Picks podcast. I am joined again today by Jamie because Jimmy's just been mad busy with fighters and stuff this weekend. We were Wales at Cage Warriors on Saturday and then Wolverhampton for Golden Ticket on Sunday. Bit of a rough weekend, some good performances, some disappointing ones, but we get back after it, don't we?
Yeah, it's good.
All right, you're on sponsorship reads again.
Yeah, so today this episode is sponsored by Unbound Merino. So they're long-term friends and partners with us now. They've been sponsoring a lot of shows, been with us for a while.
And Ollie's left no mediums behind for you.
No, he hasn't, no. He's took them all to New York.
Not a single medium in the house.
No, so. He didn't think ahead with that, did he?
No, he didn't. Selfish.
But they are
the
best.
Do you see his apartment in New York? We're digressing.
No,
it's not about Ollie. This show's not about Ollie. He's not here. He has a lovely view of New York from his apartment.
Does he?
Yeah. He's living life in his mediums.
I'll have to get him to send me a picture of his view.
Yeah, right. And his medium merinos.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Well, merino, like I said, they've been with us for a long time now. They are the best merino wool company in the game.
For sure.
Yep. Really nice stuff. This is like the softest jumper I've ever worn.
And like I was saying, I was wearing merino on the boat and it doesn't smell. You have to still wash it, of course, but it's just the most hard wearing stuff. So what's the discount on this one?
So if you go to unboundmerino.com and use the code outlaw, you get 15% off. And if your order's over $100, you get free shipping.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So, yeah. So spend over $100.
Yeah.
Get yourself some free shipping. The code is outlaw.
Yeah, Christmas time's coming up, so...
Ooh, good shout.
Nice gifts in
My
there
dad for... needs some merino socks. He's doing the coast to coast next year.
Perfect.
Like one coast to the next, so...
Is it?
Yeah, he's been recommended that he gets merino, so he don't get blisters and shit on his feet. So
yeah, it's good. It's good presents for dads, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, unbrandmerino.com, 15% off.
Nice. And yeah. NordVPN.
Yeah, we're also brought to you by NordVPN. NordVPN, they've actually got a holiday season deal on at the minute.
Nice.
If you go to nordvpn.com/outlawed and use the code outlawed, and you'll get 73% off your NordVPN plan plus a bonus gift.
A bonus gift?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. The bonus gift, although it could be a bonus gift, it could be classed as that, is being able to access my breakdown show
on the
BT Sport channel. Yep. Because... it was all right. People could view it around the world for a couple of days and then all of a sudden it's geo-blocked again. So.
Is that with the Poirier? Yeah.
We got over 100,000 views in the first day and then it's just, you know.
There's a wiki breakdown.
Thank you. Really thank you. Breakdown. Well, the thing is with you, Jamie, you sit there and record it, but you don't see the painted pictures, do you? Because I'm just talking to myself when we're recording. So.
I'm just painting it in my head. But no, it's just good to listen to. Really good.
So NordVPN, get yourself that. You can get on the BT Sport YouTube channel and you can watch the breakdown show, as well as the free gift, which we don't know what it is. They've not told us what it is.
Bonus gift.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The weekend's card?
Yeah. Review from Font Aldo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did all right for picks, didn't you, Jamie?
I did all right, actually. Yeah.
Were you keeping track?
I didn't give myself a score, but I looked through the card and I think I did all right, yeah.
Yeah. I kept thinking as the fights were going on, I'm like, well, this is not going how I thought it was going to go. So where do you want to start? What stood out to you?
Well, the standout performances for me, I thought Vince Morales looked really... I got a bit of stick for calling him Barrios last week, but it's Morales.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. He looked really good.
Yeah.
Big O Van Wright against Smolka. catch him on the way in. He looked really good.
He's got good hands, he has. I thought Smolka was going to be able to wear a few of those shots and get his hands on him, and that's where it was going to be problems. But, yeah, great performance. Great performance.
He called out Nathaniel Wood at the end as well.
Yeah, that's a hell of a fight. Mm-hmm. Hey, GB top team's opening soon. Yeah. Brad Pickett sent me a video of it yesterday. You saw it. It looks amazing. Opens in January. So, yeah, well, Nathaniel's got a new place to train. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, I'll have to take
That'd be a good fight.
There.
That would be a really good fight, wouldn't it? Both boxers, both with good takedown defense, wrestling scrambles. Neither of them really wanting to grapple too much, I would say.
Yeah, that would be... It would probably be a little bit like Nathaniel's fight against Casey. So yeah. Like a real back and forth. Uh-huh. Good scrap.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be a good one, that. What else? Who else stood out to you? Manel Kapp looked good.
Yeah, he looked wicked. I was going to mention Manel. He looked really good. I mean, so fast.
He was under pressure straight away though, wasn't he? Like Zhumagulov was just pushing forward. He was like fucking on his front foot. But yeah, Kapp, I think you're right. What you said last week. I just think he's found his groove now. You know, he's like he came into the UFC straight in against Pantoja. It's like holy shit. Like give him a. You know, give him a little kind of warm-up fight first. There were a bunch of other fighters he could have got instead of that. And I think maybe they were hoping that he was going to be too explosive for Pantoja and come in with a big bang. And then they've got a new contender straight away. But now, I mean, that's two fights in a row now, right? Is that two or is that three?
Yeah, so his last is two.
Two. Oday Osborne. Both first-round stoppages. So this is a bit more characteristic of like his previous fights before he was in the UFC. You know, a lot of like... I mean, a few second round finishes, but very explosive. And then he just had a couple of real struggles when he first stepped in. Yeah, man.
He looked really good. And he kind of, I think DC asked him if he was going to, wanted to call anyone out at the end. He was just like, I'm the fight. People can call me out, which is pretty cool as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the kid. And Dusko as well. I'm glad he's back in a winning way. I was a bit worried for him for a minute because I just thought, you know, I mean, he got caught against Soriano because he keeps backing up with his chin in the air. And then Rodriguez was just a bit too much for him, just generally. I thought Pitolo was gonna be able to break him and kind of grind him up against the fence. But, I mean, he just looks so strong in that top position.
Yeah, finally got to show his ground game a bit, didn't he?
Yeah. I tell you what was the surprise of the night and the comeback of the night, Clay Guida.
Oh, right, yeah.
Holy shit.
Damn, I didn't even put him down, to be honest.
I mean, that we were talking about the front kicks with Charles Oliveira, weren't we? Mm-hmm. Like, front kicks to the midsection, he got caught with a bad shot, you could see him doubled over. And I tell you, the one thing I didn't like about it, and I don't know why, but Henan Barao does the same thing. They're both from the same team. Because Aldo doesn't do it. He's from Nova Uniao as well. But like when they've got someone vulnerable, they look up at the referee like look, yeah, you can stop the fight now. I'm like fucking like focus on the
I talked
about
hand.
It on the whatchamacallit, didn't I? We did the war room yesterday for Pena. Mm-hmm. And I just thought to myself, like, she's completely laser focused on her opponent as a target and doing as much damage. And like Santos just I don't know. Like, that was an ideal opportunity for him to get a finish. I feel like if he'd have maybe chased a submission at that point, he'd have probably got it because Guida was already struggling to breathe. Like, he could have jumped on his neck or something. But instead, he tried to get the kind of plead to the referee TKO stoppage, which I fucking hate. And Guida just showed his toughness, and he's fucking brilliant. And
he was really cool. It was really cool to watch him get the victory.
Did you see him get that ring afterwards?
No.
He had a ring afterwards. He was like showing it to the camera and it looked like it was maybe a gift from the UFC because he was...
Did he break a record or
something?
I don't know.
I'm not sure whether he's had like... Maybe that was his like 300th fight in the UFC or something. Fuck it. You have to scroll back a long way to get to the start of his UFC career. UFC 64. That was his first one. So he's had... Let's have a look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9... 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Holy shit, 31, 32. That's 32 fights. That's ridiculous.
Damn.
That's more than a career for some people.
Yeah.
32 fights. 37 and 21 is his record.
And he was the younger guy in there as well, which surprised me as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's because Santos has just been so inconsistent, whereas Clay Guida, although he's picked up a bunch of losses, he's been very fucking consistent.
Yeah, yeah.
He's never gone away. He's always been there. Never been released from the UFC either.
fan favorite.
Amazing. Mm. Amazing. Definite Hall of Famer in the future. Definite Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that was cool.
Jamal Hill surprised me as well.
Yeah, I was just about to say, yeah, you got a sweet knockout.
Mm. I thought Crute was going to be able to take some of his shots and he was going to be able to keep pushing forward. That one surprised me as well. I mean, Chris Curtis. I can't remember whether we picked Chris Curtis.
You picked Chris Curtis.
Did I? Yeah. I mean, he absorbed a bunch of shots against, was it Phil Hawes he fought in his debut?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
He took a bunch of shots and he just kind of stayed patient, took a couple of big body shots and stuff. Did exactly the same against Brendan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he kind of finds his defense and he finds his little pocket of safety and then he starts pushing forward. I mean, Brendan Allen was looking good, like countering off the back foot as well. But I mean, yeah, I like Chris Curtis. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good addition to this division.
Yeah, he looks good. It's like the experience, I think, having that much experience then coming into the UFC is like paid a lot. It's paid off for him.
Yeah.
And I think it will.
Yeah. And I thought even though Alex Moreno won, I thought Mickey Gall looked, his striking looked better.
Yeah.
I thought his striking looked better. I expected Moreno to be too much for him.
Mm.
He's just, it looked a bit like the bully picking on the kid that trains martial arts.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He just didn't expect. And Mickey thought he was going to get a bit of a scrap out of it. And Alex Moreno's just like, all right, let's fucking go. Bang, bang, bang. He was just a bit better everywhere. As you'd expect with his record. So who stole the show then? Main or co-main event? Was it Fiziev's spinning hook kick knockout?
It's got to be, isn't it?
It's
really
got to be.
Yeah.
And give praise where praise is due. That was a good stoppage by Herb.
It was.
He was like, his legs were stiff against the fence.
And his eye, it's like he didn't really know what was in front of him either.
And I would have loved to have known what he said. Because if you watch it, like as he backs up against the fence, his eyes are kind of spinning and it's like he recognizes that he's in danger and Fiziev's coming at him and he says something. He kind of puts his hands up and says something before he level changes. I don't know what he said, but that was a good stoppage because that could have been nasty, especially if he'd have not level changed and Fiziev had just unloaded.
Mm. I think Riddell must have seen about 10 of Fiziev, and he was just like,
one of them's coming. Oh fuck, jeez, Fiziev's fucking good, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it's like we said, like he was just a bit sharper and a bit faster, just had the edge over Riddell.
Yeah,
I mean Riddell looked good, I thought.
He's got a fucking back on him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I kept thinking that when he was fighting. He's like, his back and his shoulders. But he just looks a little bit battle-worn.
Mm.
That's the best word for it. He looks a little bit battle-worn, you know? He looks a bit like Matt Brown. If you're standing there close to Matt Brown or Forrest Griffin, you know? He looks like that old hockey player before the netminders wore helmets.
Oh, right.
He's got fucking scars shit all over his face. It's like, you can see the wear on his face. Mm-hmm. And Fiziev doesn't look like that. I mean, you can tell he's had a few fights, but I just think, how old is Brad Riddell?
Yeah, he seems to be 30. A bit further on his like lifespan in the...
He's 30.
Who, Riddell?
Riddell.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's like the same age as me, pretty much.
Yeah, fucking hell. Fiziev's 28.
Yeah.
He looks a lot younger than Fiziev does. Like he moves, fucking hell. But then it's the same thing with the main event. Like, I mean, Aldo's, what is he? Aldo's 30, no,
35,
35 Aldo is. Fucking hell, he's good, isn't he?
Mm.
He's good.
It was really good to watch. It was just like a masterclass, really.
Yeah.
And Font couldn't really hang with him.
No.
I don't think. And he just didn't have the power that Aldo had. He was a lot more precise with his shots, like reserved his energy really well throughout the fight. Yeah, he looked wicked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Rob Font, my expectation, the closer the fight got, and I think this was maybe more out of concern for Aldo than anything. I thought to myself, Aldo's going to probably have a really good couple of rounds.
Mm.
He's probably going to hurt Rob Font, which he did. Did he drop him with it?
End of the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a stinging straight cross, right? I expected that to happen. I mean, I was talking to about it? I did an interview and I was chatting about this with them. And it made sense that Aldo was going to look stronger than Rob Font, but I just felt that was going to fade.
Mm.
And I thought Rob Font's toughness, like we saw in the Cody Garbrandt fight, I thought that's going to start showing through around probably the beginning of the third round where Aldo starts to lag a bit. But I think the shots that he did, land in the first round were damaging enough. And then he had, you know, spent a decent time in top position as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
I like Rob Font, but I just think that was...
Yeah, I think he's just not really quite there yet. Is it all a similar age? And
yeah, I mean, I think Rob Font's a bit younger. He's 34. Yeah.
He's kind of hit his...
Maybe. He might have hit his limit. He might have hit his ceiling. I mean, where is he? He's fifth. Like, who's above him? Corey Sandhagen, TJ Dillashaw, Aldo, obviously, he's just lost to. Like, he's right up there in the top five.
Yeah. So, because Aldo mentioned Dillashaw at the end of the fight as well.
Yeah. That's a hell of a fight. Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
And that leaves the top of the division to kind of tidy itself up with PT Yan and Aljo. Because that needs to happen, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, we need to see that fight. And then I would say the winner of Aldo and Dillashaw is the one that fights next for the belt. Although Dillashaw might want to, you know, hang around and wait.
Yeah.
He is already in a good position.
I would like to see Aldo get another shot at Peter.
Though. Yeah.
Now we've seen him have a bit of success in that division, I think he might approach the fight a little differently and is a bit more settled into it as well.
Yeah.
I would like to see that go down again for sure.
I think if Aldo fights PT Yan, I mean, the problem is it's probably going to be a main event regardless whether it's for a title or not. But that over three rounds is a different fight for Aldo.
Mm.
You know, I think Aldo, even the way the fight starts, the first three rounds would look different because he knows that he's not got those extra 10 minutes, so he can push a bit more. He'd throw a bit more into his shots and he'd throw a bit more. And yeah, but I think over five rounds, PT Yan's just, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's hard to see him get beat, really.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Rob Font Sandhagen is a fight I would love to watch. Mm. I wouldn't mind that at all. But I don't know whether Rob Font's going to now fight someone a bit further down the rankings, like maybe give them a bit of a leg up. Cruz is on this next card coming up, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's not headlining the prelims. His second fight before co-main prelim.
That's going to burn.
Yeah, especially that Sean O'Malley's on the main card.
Oh, he's going to hate that. He's going to hate that. Oh, shit. Should we move on? Are we on 269?
So, UFC 269.
Yeah, Pedro Munhoz. Like, the winner of that would be a good one.
What, Cruz?
Cruz against Munhoz. The winner of that would be a good one for Font.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he fought him, but that was back in, 2017, beaten by guillotine. Rob Font had won that one back for sure. And he's also coming off a loss to Aldo. So, you know, if he picks up another loss here against Dominic Cruz, which is, you know, we're jumping too forward in the card. Should we start at the bottom?
Yeah, let's.
Okay, UFC 269. Right, we'll get started on this one. Jillian Robertson against Priscilla Cachoeira.
Right. Well, I think Priscilla's a bit... I watched her fight earlier... against Mazzani.
Mm.
She looked quite stiff. She's quite stiff, quite like flat-footed style.
Yeah, easy to take down.
Yeah, and she's looking for the power shot all the time. And I think she just looks a little bit predictable. And I think if Jillian can take her down, which I think she's probably most likely going to, I think she'll just beat her on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was what I thought as well. I mean, like, so Cachoeira was taken down pretty easily by Mazzani until Mazzani gassed in the second round and she started stuffing her takedowns. Mm-hmm. That was a real thought for me because, you know, Jillian's got good takedowns. If she hits the floor, she works fast. She's got good rear naked chokes. Cachoeira is not going to hold still, so she's going to be trying to scramble back up to her feet and probably give her back in the process. But then the other thing as well is if you watch Cachoeira against Dobson, the way she steps in with that power uppercut, like if she's pressuring and Robertson's not comfortable on the feet, which generally she's not, she's a little bit skittish and, you know, nervous. If Cachoeira is able to pressure her early and get her to level change onto that uppercut, she'll knock her out with it.
Mm.
I mean, that was a clean knockout, clean uppercut against Dobson. I think that's a good opportunity for her, but she is just a bit too aggressive. She sometimes comes in, you know, good straight punches, but does leave a big gap in, you know, for an opponent to level change. And there's no secret, Jillian's definitely going to want to take her down. I mean, what, four rear naked chokes on her record?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that made me think a little different was Jillian's fight against Taylor Santos, where she was attacking the submission, but like losing top position as well. And then Tali was just beating her up from top position. So I could see that maybe going out the same way, but I do think Jillian's probably just going to take it down and submit her.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go the opposite way, just okay. for fun. But I mean, well, the other thing as well is Jillian's coming off two losses and Cachoeira's coming off wins. Like she had a couple of rough fights in the UFC, but then, you know, like when she fought Molly, like she swelled her eye up really bad. And in a different jurisdiction, like say if that fight was in Brazil, they might have stopped it and had the doctor look it, and the doctor would have stopped it because she couldn't see, you know, like these. Like some of her fights have been hard fought losses, and I feel like she has got a toughness, and Jillian does tend to kind of crack sometimes if she can't get the fight to the floor. And if I say Cachoeira is going to be able to defend submissions until she gets into the second round and then start stuffing takedowns, it might look like the Mazzani fight.
Yeah.
And then she finds herself, and like you said, you know, Jillian will attempt submissions and give position for it, which means that she might even end up in top position when she doesn't even want to be on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And Jillian leaves her head on the center line when she throws kicks. And because Cachoeira's got good straight punches, she might knock her down a couple of times and let her stand back up. And then Jillian's mind goes, and that's where Cachoeira comes on.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see it both ways. I can absolutely see Robertson coming out, taking her down, taking her back and subbing her, especially in the first round when there, you know, no sweat involved. But just for shits and giggles, I'm going to go for Cachoeira.
I got Jillian on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one, Randy Costa against Tony Kelly.
Yeah.
This is a good fight.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I will say before we get into this is Tony Kelly and Brandon Davis are pretty much the same person. I've never seen them in a room at the same time, but they look almost identical.
Davis.
Yeah. So Randy Costa's got a loss to Brandon Davis by rear naked choke. He threw everything at him in the first round and Davis walked through it and took his back in the second. I could quite easily see Tony Kelly just being too fucking gritty in the first round. Like, he's a banger. Like, he's a heavy front foot scrapper. He likes to march forward. He threw stuff at Al-Kaisi from the bottom as well. That awkward triangle. Do you remember that?
Yeah, because I remember when we were there.
I've got a clip on my phone of you boys watching it live.
The armbar.
Yeah,
proper wrenching on it. And we were live streaming at the time.
Yeah.
And Mystery and me just like both squirming in front of the camera. It looked like he was going to snap his arm off.
It did.
But I do like the look of Randy though.
Mm.
Like he throws his hands out like quite... Switch his stance is quite a distracting style, and the head kick in his fight against Jerny Newsom.
Oh mate, yeah,
and that was wicked.
See, what's interesting about Randy Costa and Tony Kelly does this as well. So Randy Costa switches his stance. He's orthodox when he wants to box, but if he wants to kick, he switches to southpaw because he's left footed, and that's where that kick. He does throw off his right leg as well. But if you look, it's like three or four kicks to one for left side. And then Tony Kelly switches his stance to throw his rear knee. Like he did it against Al-Kaisi in that fight where he's orthodox and he's pressuring and then he'll switch to southpaw. And it was like a flying knee. He just leapt in because he was expecting Al-Kaisi to level change. I honestly think this is about the time of the fight. I think Randy Costa's a really good first round fighter. Like if you look at his record.
Yeah.
It's like he's done really well when he's won in the first round. And when he's not won in the first round, he's struggled. Right.
Yeah,
Brandon
Davis
second round. Yanez was second round. He had a good first round against Yanez. Opened him up, lit him up, but then, you know, ended up covering his head on his knees at the end of the year.
Yanez
fight.
Is tough though.
He is fucking
really
very
tough,
good.
Dude.
Yeah. But it's a pattern. Like if you look down his fights, they're all first round finishers. Apart from the ones that he lost and their second round defeats. So that's a very consistent pattern. And then on the flip side, Tony Kelly, although he's not had, although he's only had one more fight, like there are decisions on his record. There is a second round rear naked choke, a third round rear naked choke, second round shoulder choke. You know, he can kind of do a bit of everything, but we've also seen him win by decision.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we've not seen from Randy Costa.
Yeah. I did have Randy Costa down.
But that, I reckon Randy Costa can do it, but I reckon it's got to be a first round finish.
So Randy Costa in the first round. Nothing else.
Honestly, I mean, I think if it gets into the second round, I've not seen any reason why Randy Costa's confidence will hold up past 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Right. Yeah. And Tony Kelly's just a gritty motherfucker. Mm-hmm.
Grind on him over the three rounds.
And he does look a lot like Brandon Davis.
I can't think what Brandon Davis looks like.
Have you got Randy Costa's topology up? If you click on Randy Costa's topology and click on Brandon Davis.
Randy Costa.
And then
Brandon Davis.
Brandon Davis. Right?
Oh my God, right? He does. Yeah, that's pretty freaky, to be fair.
I mean, slightly longer beard, but then that could be changed.
Yeah, tattoo.
Tattoo, that's the point of difference. And the space between their eyes is slightly different. But aside from that, I mean, I've never seen him in the same room. It could be the same person.
Or separated at birth.
Yeah, there you go. Like Randy Costa might get in there and all of a sudden have those like glitching flashbacks to the Brandon Davis fight where he's tapping to a rear naked choke. I've got Tony Kelly just because of I think he's got great balls, and I think that I think Randy Costa's a very slick striker, and I think if it's the first round, it will go his way. But yeah, I'm always up for the harder man pushing the exciting prospect and kind of breaking him. I think that's what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Randy.
Yeah,
again. Flash knockout in the first round.
It's the hipster pick, let's be honest. It's the hipster pick, I would expect it. Okay. Ryan Hall against Derek Minna.
Now,
go on.
I'm not going to make the hipster pick on this one. Because
I don't know which the hipster pick is on this one. I mean, Minna's got how many fucking wins by guillotine?
I thought Ryan Hall's like the ultimate hipster pick.
He is the ultimate hipster pick. I don't know though, man, is he? I think he's too detached from hipster to be hipster. Yeah. He's just, I don't know, like Derek Minna, they're both good grapplers, right?
Yeah.
Of course. You would probably say, for most people in the grappling world would say that Ryan Hall's got the advantage, I would think. Derek Minna's a much better MMA grappler, though. That's the big difference. Like, he'll hold top position, he'll scramble back to top position, even though he likes a guillotine. He's got better striking, he switches his stance. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's quite a long, low stance, but I think that preps him for attacking the neck when people shoot in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ridiculous. He's got 26 wins on his record, 22 submissions, 21 first round, and 11 of them are guillotines.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've just gone off Ryan Hall's last fight. Was it Topuria? Where he just kept shooting in, so predictable, and just got beat.
Yeah.
And I can see Derek Minna doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah. Diving at him like he was trying to steal his shoes, but he didn't really want to fight. It was an ugly fight. It was an ugly approach. Mm-hmm. I'm really not a fan of it. I'm really not.
No.
I respect the fact that he's very good at a particular thing, but it's MMA. You've got to complement it with something else. Mm-hmm. Even just a decent stance and a jab. Like, set a takedown up. Like, learn a double leg. Even Damian Maia's got fucking good wrestling, you know? It might not be good enough to take down the likes of Tyron Woodley or Usman, but he takes down a lot of other people. But he just doesn't. He's not creating that opportunity for him, Ryan Hall.
No, I mean, I like his.
I can't pick him.
I like his movement. He's like very like relaxed, and I like that style. It looks good, but whether it's effective or not, I don't think so.
Yeah,
and especially like Derek Minna's just going to put it on him.
From
the start, and I think he's
I can't pick Ryan Hall. I just think he's a bit of a jiu-jitsu snob. I've got to pick Derek Minna because I think he's a better mixed martial artist.
Mm-hmm.
He's got wicked neck attacks. I'm not necessarily saying he's going to catch Ryan Hall, but I certainly think he's got enough to threaten Ryan Hall and get him to let go of a takedown if he's in on a single leg or something. And I think the smart thing for Derek Minna to do is to keep it on the feet, you know? Like, keep it standing and beat him up at a distance. He's only got one win by knockout, but that doesn't mean he's not going to be able to hit him and hurt him with some shots. Like Ryan Hall, you don't have to knock him out to get him out of there. He'll break. And I don't think Derek Minna is going to be stupid enough to jump into his ground game.
He's too experienced for that as well.
Yeah.
Is it 21 first round finishes?
Yeah. 21 first round finishes, 26 and 12. You know, it's not like he's not lost by submission. I mean, we saw him get Rene choked by Grant Dawson, but I think this is a much more clearer cut fight. Definitely don't touch the ground. Stay on the feet, beat him up with the hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Derek Minna.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Where are we next? Alex Perez Machnow. This is I don't know whether Machnow's pissed somebody off.
Why?
But he's just getting hard fights. I mean,
right.
I remember interviewing Machnow. I can't remember what fight it was for. I think it might have been the Tyson Nam fight. Anyway, I remember interviewing him, and he was one of the few interviews across the years that stood out because he's very sharp and he's very kind of, he's well thought out. He's got he's just got a real good fight IQ. And you can see it when he fights. He kind of does that like little kind of edge from one side to another. He's very comfortable in the striking ranges, but he got clipped by Pantoja. Bontorin was catching him pretty much when he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think Perez is a killer.
I think Perez is good. And the fight I watched earlier was the Formiga one, where he finished it with leg kicks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think that's going to be a problem for Matt as well, because was it the Bontorin fight? Bontorin. He was getting took out with leg kicks as well. Because he's just kind of leaving it there.
Yeah.
I like his style. Like, it's very, like, faints a lot, and it's
pretty snake-like, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice style to watch. I just think Alex Perez is going to outwork him, though.
Yeah,
I agree. And put it on him a lot.
I agree. I'm a big fan of Alex Perez. I think this is a hell of a fight. I like Machnow as well. And like I said, he's a very sharp individual. I think he's a smart fighter. But I think Perez is just a bit much for him at this point. And, you know, he's coming off that loss to Figueiredo. That's going to be a real fire under his ass.
Yeah. And he's only ever lost to Figueiredo and... Who else was it? Benavidez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the best, aside from the champion, in the division, always?
Yeah, I think Perez is good, man. I think he's got a pretty bright future as well. He's not faced Moreno or Pantoja yet.
He's only young, isn't he? Oh, 29. He's at a good point right now. Next couple of years, he might be in Brandon Moreno's position.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm picking Perez. I'm picking Perez. But I do expect this one to be a real good scrap. Mm-hmm. Okay. Erin Blanchfield, Miranda Maverick. This is a good bit of matchmaking.
Yeah.
Which way are you going?
From my pick is Miranda.
Okay.
It was quite a tough one, to be honest, to pick on this, because Erin looked really good in her debut.
Yeah.
Like, she's constant pressure all the time, like doesn't give her opponent any like breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
She's young, had really good trips, like good work on the ground and stuff. But I think Miranda's just a bit sharper in her striking, and she's a bit more reserved. She'll only pick her shots and make shots if she knows it's going to land.
Yeah.
She doesn't waste that much energy. I think Miranda's just going to be able to pick her off
that. Yeah, from a distance.
Yeah.
I said it's a good bit of matchmaking. I think it's a tough, I think it's a close fight. My feeling is that Erin Blanchfield might be able to keep it more of a mixed martial arts fight than Maverick. I think her striking is very sharp, and I think she's confident in the ground game if it goes. I think she's a brown belt. But yeah, I was just impressed with Blanchfield against Alpar. Like when she got close to her, she was hitting her with elbows and knees. That high kick against Leonardo as well in Invicta. I'm not sure whether you've seen that.
No.
Was like they broke off the fence and she threw her left hand and hid the left high kick behind it and just smacked her in the face and knocked her out. Just sat her down.
Nice.
And she's got, you know, good low kicks and body kicks as well. I think her striking game is more well rounded than Maverick's. I think Maverick's probably a better athlete, probably physically stronger.
Mm.
So she might be able to keep it striking, but it might be a smart thing for Maverick to maybe engage in the takedowns. But Blanchfield's got a good double leg as well.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one to pick, honestly. I'm going to go Blanchfield just because I think she's got a bit more to her game. But I agree with what you're saying with Maverick. She's
Yeah,
I think she's sharper at a boxing range for sure.
What she did to Joe Dewar.
Yeah.
Like split her nose like
that
wide
was
open.
An elbow, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a tough one to pick. But yeah, I did come to the conclusion of Miranda.
Yeah.
Yeah, just very based well. Off that, yeah.
We'll go opposites then.
Okay.
Okay. I think this one's a bit more clear cut for me.
Yeah, same.
Andre Muniz against Eric Anders. So, interesting. I came across Muniz the other day when I was researching the, what's his name? Azmat.
Oh, Azmat, yeah.
That's
yeah.
his last loss. Azmat Mirzakhanov. I always slow down on his name. That's his last loss. And since then, he's on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's on a 7-fight win streak. Armbarred Fabinski and then snapped Jacare's yeah. arm. I watched it a couple of times this morning.
I know, same.
Ugh.
You could hear it on the commentary, couldn't you?
Yeah. It's just like, they're like it's that point where like this tension, and then it just gives. It's
yeah.
Just, fuck.
There must be a certain point because it was he had it was a bit more of the upper.
Elbow?
Yeah, it was like yeah. the upper arm, wasn't it, that broke?
Yeah. You know what he does really well? Because he did it against Fabinski as well. If you remember the start of that fight, Fabinski was the one that initiated the clinch. He tried to take him down and Muniz got a guillotine, jump guard, and looked like he was going to finish the guillotine. It was on this side, I'm doing this. He looked like he was going to finish that guillotine, and almost as soon as he released it, he was setting up a triangle, but he actually attacked the arm. And it was the same position where he's not holding the arm and extending it, not controlling the forearm or the wrist and extending it. He's hooking it with his arm and extending it, trapping it between his thigh and his arm. Mm. It just seems to be a really comfortable position. Because then as you watch the Jacare fight, like he jumped on his back, fell off to an arm, but collected the arm and trapped it between his arm and his leg way. And then as he fell off to the side, he put the arm in a position where it was pressured, and you know, Jacare couldn't tap quick enough, really. Beautiful.
Yeah, it was. It was really, and to do that to Jacare was pretty impressive.
Very. I think he's gonna sub Eric.
I think he's just gonna sub him. Yeah, I watched a few of Eric's fights, and I think he's probably got the power advantage.
Yeah.
And he can always catch him, but like the timing on Muniz's takedowns as well was like
he nailed Jacare twice with that power double. Yeah, I think same thing. Eric Anders is going to charge forward with a combo. Muniz double legs puts him on the floor and then probably takes his back and chokes him out, mm-hmm. or catches him with that armbar.
Yeah,
fucking no doubt. I think he's good. I think he's really
he's
good. Muniz. He's an exciting addition to that division. You know, same as like Chris Curtis, and you know, we've got a couple of really good middleweights coming through right now. Like this next one as well. So we're both going Muniz on that one, right?
Yeah, both going Muniz, yeah.
This next one's a fucking really interesting one as well.
Yeah.
So Bruno Silva, 21-6, taking on Jordan Wright, who's 12-1. I am not sold on Jordan Wright yet.
Oh, you're not?
I'm not. I don't mind him, but like when he fought Joaquin Buckley, you could see him kind of start to unravel under the pressure. And all of his fights up to the UFC pretty much were gimmies.
Okay.
I mean, his first two opponents were making their debut, which is absolutely fine. His third fight is 0-5. Then he fought another person making their debut. Then he fought someone that's 0-21. Then 0-10. Then someone that was making their debut. Then someone that was 1-2. And then in his eighth fight, he fought someone with a winning record, and that was in LFA. Stopped him with a rear naked choke and then went on Contender Series. So for me, there's only really one fight on there that's worth shit, and that's the one before he had his Contender Series fight.
Yeah.
Like, all of the rest of his fights, I'm like...
He fought the same guy twice.
Yeah, John Stern.
And choked him out twice.
Both in the first round. Arm triangle and the rear naked choke. I don't know, I just like, when I look at a record like this, I'm like, I don't know where the depth of this individual's game is. And then you look at Bruno Silva, and he's a fucking monster for the division. He's got a decent chunk more experience. That Andrew Sanchez fight, he was losing that until the third round when he was just like, nah.
Yeah, he didn't panic or out though. I thought he dealt with the pressure of the wrestling like really well.
Yeah.
And he had enough energy in the last round to get the finish, obviously.
Yeah. And then you look down his record as well. Andrew Sanchez is a tough opponent, and that took him to the third round to finish him. But then he stopped Wellington Turman. Then before that, he was in M1 Challenge. And the two guys that he fought in M1 Challenge, Artem Frolov, 11-0, beat him in the fourth round. And then Alexander Shlemenko, who was 57-10. And he stopped him in the first round. Like, he's not fucking around with some of these guys he's fought.
57-10?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And, like, you know, you look at the losses on his record. I mean, he's got a couple of losses to decent people.
Yeah.
To be honest. I think he's going to do it.
Yeah.
I think Bruno Silva's going to do it. I think as long as he gets through the first round and Jordan Wright's confidence don't carry him to a TKO, you're going to go Jordan Wright, aren't you?
I did have Jordan Wright.
Of course you fucking did.
The Beverly Hills ninja.
Hills hipster. I'm just not sold on him because of his record.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on him.
Now you've kind of
pulled him apart.
You said that.
Sorry.
But I thought he looked good against Jamie Pickett.
He did.
And I thought he looked good. I mean, I know they're both kind of early stoppages, but like Ike Villanova as well.
Yeah.
Like, split him open with the knee.
He is good. And again, it's similar to Randy Costa. He's good in the first round. Mm. I don't know whether he does this in the first round though.
Yeah.
That's my concern. But in your defense, I did pick Jamie Pickett to beat him. So, you know, and then he stopped Jamie Pickett in the minute. So I was wrong there. I may be wrong again on this one, but I can't pick him based on the depth of his record. I've got to go with Bruno Silva being tough enough to get through the first.
The one thing I would say about Jordan Wright, you know, you said about Pena and not looking away when they strike. He did that against Jamie Pickett. He was just solely focused on getting him out. Didn't look at all.
Yeah.
That kind of stood out to me a little bit as well.
Yeah. I like that laser focus.
Yeah.
It shows that you're in the fight to have a fight and not in the fight to put another win on your record, you know. Bit of a different mentality. So you're going, are you sticking with your pick or have
I'm going to go for Jordan Wright,
Fair play to you. I'm picking Bruno Silva. Okay. Heavyweights. Fucking hell, this is a banger. Augusto Sakai against Taito Iwasa.
Oh.
This is another situation where there's one fighter coming off losses fighting someone that's on a win streak, which is odd because the UFC don't always do that. Usually it would be the other way around. Usually they would try and find two people coming off wins.
Right, yeah.
I wonder if it's to do with their rankings. Where are these heavyweight?
Yeah, because Augusto Sakai's, we fought Rosenstruik last, didn't he?
Yeah, so Sakai is at 11. Oh, okay, fair enough. So Taito Iwasa is no longer ranked at heavyweight. That's pretty impressive considering the heavyweight division's fairly deep at the moment because he's on a win streak, isn't he,
Ty? He is. He's coming off that Greg Hardy win, isn't he?
Yeah, that's it. Struve, Hunsucker, and Greg Hardy, all first rounders. I think Augusto Sakai's probably got cleaner boxing. And I think he's got decent low kicks, but Taito Iwasa has got a crack on him that's different.
Yeah. So I think Ty was throwing a lot of leg kicks against Greg as well.
That's true.
And he's a bit more bouncier. Even though they're both like big guys, he just seems like he moves a bit better. Augusto's a bit like...
A bit ploddy.
Bloody, yeah. It's a good word.
A bit flat-footed. Yeah. Yeah, he is for sure.
They've both got massive power, obviously. But
yeah. My pick's Ty. I think Ty's going to crack him with that overhand and put him out.
And it didn't take much for him to knock out Greg.
No.
It was like, because he was wobbled himself and he just,
It's effortless. You know what? Do you remember when he fought Stefan Struve and knocked him down, TKO against the fence, and then jumped up onto the fence and kicked him in the head on the way up? Like, Struve's sitting there like, fucking hell, dude, like, fight's over.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I think I'd just pick Ty just because he's Ty as well.
He's fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
too.
He's great.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. There'll be alcohol being consumed out of footwear this weekend. Okay. Pedro Munhoz against Dominic Cruz.
Ooh. Well, just from the off. I mean, I've picked Pedro.
Have you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, yeah. Okay. We're opposite sides again, I think. Like, I don't know. I find it odd to pick against Dominic Cruz. He's going to be really pissed off that he's on the prelims as well. he's going to be really, really annoyed at that. He'll, as soon as that was on the, he's like, he's a main card fighter. He's Dominic Cruz. You know, he's one of the best bantamweights of all time. And I think his footwork's a real problem for Pedro Munhoz. Munhoz is good with people that kind of stand in front of him. Mm. Like, was it his fight against Jimmy Rivera where they just stood and traded? Mm-hmm. Good low and kicks, Cody. Good guillotines. The way for Munhoz to win this is to do damage to Dominic Cruz's knees.
Yeah.
Like, attack his legs. Like, beat his legs up, beat his calves up, take his mobility away and then walk him down.
Mm-hmm. It was funny because I was watching the Pedro-Cody fight and Cruz was commentating and he was talking about dealing with the movement of Cody and that he'd need to attack his legs. And I was kind of like, maybe that's kind of what Pedro, like you just said, Pedro needs to do to him.
Well, Pedro's got kind of that long stance and he kind of, you know what I mean? He kind of, he's very stationary in his stance. I think Cruz is going to be able to kind of like dance around him and make him look quite slow unless he can take that away from Cruz. I mean, you know, the one thing that as well that sticks out in my mind is that Cruz lost by guillotine to Faber back in 2007. And that was kind of part of where their rivalry started. Mm. Pedro's got a really good guillotine.
Yeah.
Like if he takes away that movement and then he starts walking Cruz down against the fence and banging, he might be able to get him to level change into a guillotine. I could absolutely see that happening.
Yeah. One of the reasons why I've picked Pedro as well, because Cruz had his last fight was against Casey Kenney.
Mm.
And I think the level that he only won by split decision. I think the level that Casey Kenney at, Pedro's like a couple of levels above that. And I don't think, I think.
So you think Cruz is not where he used to be as a fighter now?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Mm. You've actually changed my mind. I was going to go Dominic Cruz, but I think I'm going to go Pedro as well. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, Cruz has got good footwork and he's a very intelligent individual. So I think you'll see the holes in Pedro's game. But now you've got me convinced that he's probably not old. He's probably a bit too old to put that into action.
Mm.
He'd be better with his mind as a heavyweight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like where they move a bit slower. You can see, because like this is a fast paced fight, and I think Munhoz is just a little bit too much of a hammer at this stage in Cruz's career.
And he's never been, well, Pedro's never been finished, has he?
No.
He had like an iron chin or something.
Yeah, yeah, he has got a ridiculous chin.
Because the Cody fight, they were both throwing fucking hard, ridiculous, and it was just whoever got hit really in the end.
Yeah, yeah, good shout. No, you've changed my mind.
Yeah.
I was actually going to pick Cruz, but no, that was a short-sighted pick on my part based on Dominic Cruz's confidence.
I'd like
to see Pedro win.
Yeah.
I would, yeah.
It is hard, like you said, to pick against Cruz because of his credentials and like who he is. But yeah, I just don't think he's really on par with those bantamweights at the minute.
Mm.
Like guys like Pedro, I think.
Okay. Two for Pedro then.
Yeah.
All right. This is another good fight. Danny Ige against Josh Emmett.
they're pretty similar as well, aren't they?
Very similar. Very similar. I'm a big fan of Dan Ige.
Yeah, same.
I really am. I think
nice dude as well.
I think he's a guy that's like he's like set his career up for after MMA, which shows how you know smart he is. He's had some hard fights though, but you know you lose to Cater and the Zombie by decision.
Yeah,
everyone else is. I mean that Gavin Tucker cross.
Oh my god!
20 something seconds.
Yeah, 20 seconds. I think
banging. I don't know. I mean, Josh Emmett. He's an absolute powerhouse.
Yeah.
He's just always injured. He's got so many injuries.
is that why he's a bit...
He's in and out. He had a good little streak, didn't he? He had he beat Johnson and Bektic back in 2019. And then we didn't see him until June of 2020 against Shane Burgos.
Yeah, and then he's been out
and
another 18 months. Mm. Yeah.
I just know he struggles really badly with injuries, just generally.
Man, I think the power he's got, though, is like Danny Ige's definitely got to avoid. Like that overhand right he caught Michael Johnson with.
Yeah, true. Oh, I mean, that's the thing. But then, you know, Danny Ige went in there and spent, 5 rounds with the Zombie. and five rounds with Calvin Kattar, two guys that have got heavy hands.
Man, I've definitely got Dan Ige for the win.
Have you? Yeah, for sure. I'm going to pick Dan Ige as well. I think Josh Emmett's going to be a real handful for him, but I don't know whether. I mean, he's 36, and I know he's struggled with injuries. Mm-hmm. I just kind of feel like there's a point where, you know, that explosiveness is going to do more damage to you than anything else.
Yeah, and the level of Dan Ige's opponents, like he's got a win over Edson Barboza as well, which is pretty.
Very impressive.
Yeah, I think he's just. Just a bit of a step ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two for Dan Ige.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's lower in the rankings, I think.
Yeah, I think Dan Ige's...
Is he 11? Hang on a minute, where are we?
Emmett was 8, I think.
Oh, Dan Ige's 9 and Emmett's... Apparently there's 2 7s now. Josh Emmett and Giga Chikadze are both ranked number 7.
Oh, okay.
He goes 6. Arnold Allen 6, Chikadze 7, Josh Emmett 7, Dan Ige 9.
Someone at UFC can't count.
Right. Okay. Main card time. Okay. Sean O'Malley against Haleon Piver.
I like the look of Piver.
Yeah.
I think he's really good. He had a really good fight against Kyler. Mm-hmm. Got hurt a few times in that fight, but came back. And he's not afraid to stand in the pocket, throw.
Yeah. He was furious when he got cut against Bonsarin and was stopped.
Yeah.
Like he would have fought through anything. My only concern for him is that he's a little bit too game for scrapping. Mm. And O'Malley won't play that game with him. Like O'Malley's got really good footwork, and Piver just kind of hangs and kind of waits and pressures in that way. That's why he takes big shots. You know, that's why he gets caught with a lot of shots. But not that he can't take them, but O'Malley's got really good timing. You know, he's very good at pulling people onto power punches. I think this is a match made for Sean O'Malley to pick up a win.
Yeah, I thought the same because, like I said, I think he's too game to stand and scrap.
Yeah,
and O'Malley's not going to fall for that. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
No. He just isn't going to engage in that game. And Piver will get frustrated because he'll keep swinging and missing. And Sean O'Malley will get under his skin. You know, and I really think that will frustrate him and make him swing and miss.
Mm-hmm.
And O'Malley will just kind of keep cruising around and keep stinging him. If he gets trapped up against the fence, though, Piver's going to give him problems because he is a good striker and he does throw with venom. But I don't think he's quite as calculated as O'Malley.
No.
I think this is a win for O'Malley.
Yeah, same. I got O'Malley. I mean, Piver's good, but yeah.
It's a respectable name that will probably fight in a way that will open up opportunities for O'Malley to slide in and ping him with one of those power shots. Mm-hmm. He's very good at that kind of push-pull game, O'Malley. And because he knows he's got long arms, he's got a good sting on those punches as well. And he knows, like, this is something you can tell he's trained a lot in the gym. He's done a lot of pad work with someone that he trusts to check that range. Like sometimes padmen bring the pad too close and then it like stifles the shot. So like when you find a good padman that allows you to really fully express your shots, you can really start to understand your range. And I would imagine he does a lot of place barring as well. I mean, you guys have spent a bit of time with him.
Yeah.
I would imagine he does like a lot of place barring to just kind of, you know, figure things out.
Yeah. I mean, when we were filming him in Arizona, we only caught a bit of his training, but he was working with the pad guy there. Mm. And yeah, his striking was just like, even just watching that, it was just pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I can't see Piver getting past him.
No. I mean, I think it might be a decision, but I think O'Malley's going to be running away with the striking stats.
The only thing is that because O'Malley couldn't finish, what was his last fight? Because he hit him with a lot.
Yeah, Martino.
Yeah, that guy took it like last notice.
Yeah. Yeah, he stopped him right at the end, didn't he? A standing TKO at the end of the third round.
But it took a lot to kind of finish it.
Yeah.
And
but
I think
Piver's not going to go away.
No.
For sure.
And if he can last and keep going, yeah, I think, like you said, a decision, but O'Malley will probably get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one's fucking awesome. God, what a card this is. Kai Kara-France against Cody Garbrandt. So Garbrandt's...
Moving down
a weight class. So formerly a bantamweight, now moving down to flyweight for his 17th fight against Kai Kara France, who's got the experience advantage at 22-9. And Kai's a very skilled striker, a very skilled striker. My question is, how does Cody's chin hold up moving down a weight class, and how does his power hold up? Because that's his main attribute, isn't it? Like, and yeah. Kai Kara France coming off that win over Bontorin, that's a strong place for him to be in the division. A win over Cody Garbrandt really accelerates him.
That Bontorin, well, he pretty much the whole first round, he was trying to get out the rear naked choke, wasn't he? And then he managed to finish it. But, you know, when he kind of stopped the fight himself.
Yeah, walked away and then went back.
Yeah, yeah, and then went back. And I don't know if he thought the fight was not over, or he was just like joking or something.
Yeah.
And then Bontorin stood up and threw his gum shield at him. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah. But yeah, I've got Kai for the win.
Mm.
Because I think, like you said, if Cody's going down, I don't know how his power's got. I think he'll still be the more powerful striker in there. But I think Kai's will probably be a bit too quick for him.
I agree.
Yeah, over the distance.
I agree. I think Cody could be a real problem in this division for a lot of fighters because he has got power and because he has got good boxing, but he is also quite hittable.
Mm.
And my concern is in moving down a weight class, that's not going to do anything for his ability to take a punch. The difference in power between flyweights and bantamweights is, you know, it's inconsequential, really. If you get caught with a clean punch, it is what it is. He's been stopped a few times. He struggled against Rob Font over five rounds. I think Kai's got a really high output. I think he's an accurate striker. I think he's a varied striker. And I think he can, you know, he can expose Cody in that range.
Yeah.
And I've got Kai for the win.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I think he'll, because he's coming down to his division as well, and he's the more experienced fighter. Yeah, I think that will show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got Kai for the win.
Yep, me too. Okay, Jeff Neal against Santiago Ponzinibbio. Yeah, a hard one to pick this one. I've got Ponzinibbio, again, experience. I mean, Jeff Neal's, 13-4. Ponzinibbio's 28-4. He had a rough one against the Leech when he came back after, because he was really ill, wasn't he? He was out for a long time.
I read into it the other day, because I knew he was out for a while, but it was like one thing after the other, infections, like bacterial infections and like blood infections and stuff. And
lost a bunch of weight. Yeah. And
close to, you know, dying almost, I think, at one point.
But he was on a really good streak. I mean, you know, you look from that Lorenz Larkin loss back in 2015. He was on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He was on a 7-fight win streak, beating Gunnar Nelson, Mike Perry, and Neil Magny in that process. And then he had all that time out, lost a load of weight, recovered, then came back against the Leech and was just super confident for that fight. Mm. And the Leech just caught him with that clean left hook. I mean, I felt bad for him because he, you know, you could see when he stood up, he was like, oh, this was not how it was supposed to go. I think he was expecting just to pick up his momentum again and just keep going. But then, you know, I know Miguel Baez's got a lot less experience, but I think he's a very good fighter. And I do think that Santiago's just a little bit too good for Jeff Neal. I think his reach is a bit too much. His speed is a bit too good. And I think his self-confidence carries him a long way.
Yeah.
And you've got to think Jeff Neal's coming off a couple of losses as well. Lost to Neil Magny, lost to Wonderboy. It's like he's hit his ceiling and that's where it is. Mm. And I think Ponzinibbio's above that.
Yeah. I actually went the other way.
Did you? Yeah. Go on then, tell me why.
I went for Jeff Neal because I thought against Beza, he looked a little slow.
Ponzinibbio,
yeah. Yeah, Ponzinibbio looked a little slow, and he was getting caught and he was getting hurt.
Mm.
And I think Jeff Neal's got a lot more power than Beza. Mm-hmm. And if he'd have caught him with the same kind of strikes, it would have been a bit different.
I hear you.
And
he's
got
a 2-inch reach advantage as well, Jeff Neal.
Yeah, and he comes crashing forward quite a lot with, like, you know, throwing a lot of strikes, big heavy strikes as well.
Mm.
And I think he might just catch him. I do like Ponzinibbio, but I don't think he's the same person he was before.
No, yeah, no. Okay.
I just think he's slowed down a little bit, and I think that showed in the Beza fight. And I think Jeff Neal's a bit quicker and like goes in with a lot. And okay. I think he might just catch him.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
A justified pick. I've still got Ponzinibbio though.
It was hard to pick because I do like Ponzinibbio. Like, man, before he was ill and like, was out, he was... But I think the division changed quite a bit in that time out as well.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Okay, co-main event.
Yeah.
Amanda Nunes against Juliana Pena. Well, sat and watched the War Room yesterday. Was there anything I said that gives you the inkling that Pena might do this?
No. Not at all. I can't see her beating her at all. I just think she's like yesterday. She's better everywhere, isn't she?
Mm. Just a little bit more fierce, a little bit more powerful as well.
Yeah.
Just to complement it, you know. Like Juliana Pena's takedown offense is really low, isn't it? I can't remember what I said it was yesterday, but it's like what 24% or something.
Yeah, Nunes is 84%.
Yeah, 23% takedown offense for Pena, 84% for Nunes.
Mm.
And you know they kind of do the same thing. You know they beat their opponents up until their opponent level changes, or they. I mean, I would say Nunes is far more comfortable to stand and trade until her opponent level changes, whereas Pena would much rather initiate the clinch and take her opponent down. I don't think she can do that to Nunes. I don't think she can beat her in the striking range for power or speed. And I think if it hits the floor, she'll have to have Nunes tired, so it's going to have to be later in the fight in order to have any control over top position. Mm. I just think Nunes is a fucking monster in this division.
I just don't think anyone... Really, like what you said earlier, the only person who's come close is Valentina.
Yeah, and that was a technical thing. That was because Valentina's a really technical fighter, and Valentina armbarred Pena. Mm. You know, I know MMA math doesn't work like that, but fuck, I can't make an argument for Juliana Pena better than I did on the War Room, and I tried.
What do you think if Valentina and Nunes fought again? What do you think? How do you think that would go?
I don't know. I think the point of difference is that Nunes is, she's getting better all the time, but she's always been bigger and stronger. And I think that was where Shevchenko was at a deficit, because even if she landed the same amount of strikes or she had the same, the same level of grappling, it's not going to be as prevalent without the power to back it up. And Nunes brings that. I mean, she stopped Cyborg and Cyborg usually rolls over people. She's a dangerous individual.
Yeah.
And I like Pena's confidence, but it's unfortunate she could do with probably another 5 or 6 fights to get that experience that she would need to beat Nunes. Because Nunes is, what, 13 fights more than her or something like that? Yeah.
It's a
big amount of experience. And it's taking the belt off Misha Tate in the main event at UFC 200 and knocking Cyborg out. And that's not an experience that Pena's got.
No.
And then you think, like, although Nunes struggled against her and she still beat her, Pena got subbed by her. That's another thing that doesn't sit well for you, because Durandam is a Thai boxer.
Yeah.
She said it to me when I interviewed her. Hey, I'm a Thai boxer and I'm submitting people. It's like, no one expected that. It's got to be a pick for Nunes, hasn't it?
Yeah, this is pretty clear. Everyone's obviously got a shot and, you know, all the best to her, but... Yeah, I just can't see it beating her.
Yeah, no.
Not at all.
Okay, main event.
Right. Poirier, Oliveira.
What do you reckon? What's your pick?
Well, I think I love both these guys. They're probably like my two top fighters in the whole of the UFC.
So you're going to shed a little tear regardless?
It is hard to pick. But I think Oliveira's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Oliveira's going to do it as well.
Yeah. I would love to see Poirier win. Just because of who he is and like what he's gone through to kind of get there.
Mm. It'd be good to see him actually have the belt.
I know he was the interim
champ. I'd love to see him actually have the belt.
Mm.
I don't know. I think Charles Oliveira is dangerous at like bookends, you know, like striking range, grappling range. Poirier might be able to dictate where the fight goes, but he can't dictate what happens when it's there. And I think Oliveira is just, I mean, I said everything I needed to say in the War Room and the Breakdown show.
But it's just Poirier's... Well, Oliveira's only really got a few things to worry about, whereas Poirier's got everything to worry about.
Yeah.
I think just the... Like you said, there's just so much a wider range to Oliveira's game.
Mm.
And, yeah.
Like, if you put your mind in Oliveira's mind and you're going into this fight with Poirier, I'm like, okay, so... I don't want to get backed up against the fence. But as long as I get backed up against the fence and I'm fresh, I've got good options here. I can level change. I can hit him with elbows. I've got a good uppercut and a good left hook. So I've got options there. If I get tired, I'm fucked. That's my thought. I could take him down. I could be on the bottom position and I could still work submissions. But if I'm tired, I'm fucked. And that's the whole thing. It's Poirier getting through hard 2-3 rounds and then putting it on him in the last two to stop him.
Hmm.
And that's the way that Poirier wins this. That's the, you know, I mean, you know, he could get a decision, but he's going to have to work really, really hard for it and avoid a lot of traps in the process. I actually think Oliveira might catch him with something and sub him.
Yeah.
Mm. I think he might hurt him, front kicks to the body, or, you know, catch him with a couple of clean shots, uppercut, left hook, Poirier's rock level changes, bang, straight into a guillotine, anaconda, something like that.
Yeah, I think he'll sub him as well.
Mm.
Like, I watched the Ferguson-Oliveira fight earlier as well, and the control was just...
It's ridiculous.
It's like little things as well. Like at one point, Ferguson was like, hold on to him, his back, and he just lifted up his back and then slammed back down. It's just those little things just constantly wearing on someone.
Yeah.
It's so good. So good to watch.
Yeah. Got to be Oliveira.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, I don't care who wins, to be honest, because... I like both of them a lot.
Just as long as they both have a good time and no one gets hurt.
Exactly,
that's what it's about. Yeah.
But no, watching two guys in their prime.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good fight.
Hell of a fight. Okay, NordVPN, make sure you check them out. 73% off them. Yep. And a bonus gift with the code.
With code Outlaw.
With the code Outlaw. BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com. Go on.
BetterHelp, one sec.
I've jumped about, haven't I? I've jumped about. Unbound Merino.
Unbound Merino, yeah.
Unbound Merino. Make sure you check out Unbound Merino. Free shipping on orders over $100. Use the code OUTLAW.
Yeah.
And you get 15%
off. 15% off, yeah.
It's all starting to sit in there now. And BetterHelp.
And BetterHelp is betterhelp.com/outlawed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make sure you check that out if you need it. They will help you out. They will connect you with someone that will help you if you need it. Nothing wrong with asking for help. We all go through hard times, so make sure you get on that if you feel like it's going to be of value to you. Wonderful. All good?
Yeah.
It's going to be a great weekend. Looking forward to it. And the Cage Warriors doubleheader and Aries in Paris. Loads of good fights this weekend. Make sure you check them all out. Jamie, well done. Nice one.
Nice one, mate.
See you next time.
In a bit.